That is such a nice sound, isn't it?
I know that music.
Oh, that's so fun to hear again.
It is. We're back.
We're back. Hi, everybody. You are listening to KVSH FM, the voice of Vashon in downtown Vashon, Washington, 101.9. I hope you're going to have a lovely afternoon as you sit here and maybe listen to the three of us chat a little bit about what's going on in the world. This is The Clatch, and this is a place where we talk about what we want to talk about, when we want to talk about it, and we say what we want to say.
Come clatch.
And with me, I'm Linda Nygaard. I'll be your host today. And in the studio with me today are Heidi Skrypek. Hi, Heidi.
Hey.
And Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. And, you know, we cut our production schedule down to once a month, so we have lots to get caught up on in a month. You know, we used to get to do it twice a month, but I think now we're going to just get caught up.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's. Does this mean we talk really fast?
Yeah, talk as fast as you can because we only
have... It's a speed date.
Whole month to fill in an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Susan, what's been going on with you in the last couple of weeks?
I have had a fabulous month.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I was privileged to see the Seattle Opera performance of Malcolm X, which starred my husband's nephew-in-law, Kenneth Kellogg. And it was, I'm not an opera person, but I got to tell you, this was an outstanding production.
I would love to see it.
Really
sometime.
Well done. Yeah. The music was written by a jazz musician, and I wasn't sure how that was going to work with opera, but it really moved the story along just right.
Mm. Ah, cool.
So it was the life and times of Malcolm X, and it went from his childhood through his assassination and involved wonderful characters, his mother, his sister, all the folks who were involved in his life, and it was beautifully done. So
how wonderful.
Yeah.
Are they doing that show elsewhere?
It's actually a national, the show is going nationally, but each opera company casts their own cast.
I see.
Chooses their own cast, if you will.
Yeah.
So Kenneth was chosen for the Seattle Opera. Others have done it in New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and it's going to L.A. next.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So it was already in all those cities. So where did Seattle fall in that mix? Was like the fourth one?
Good question. I think there was D.C., New York, Seattle.
It made its way west.
Maybe Chicago first. So it might have been the fourth, making its way west.
That's really neat because then you have a template you can look at and draw inspiration and augment. That's so neat.
I would love to see the different actual productions too, because that's up to the local company.
Sure. Oh,
and all I know is the Seattle company, but they're staging the orchestra, the proscenium, the slides that they did, the curtains, all of that was just fantastic.
Bravo.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
That's wonderful.
And so now I am looking forward to participating in Kissing the Joy as it Flies, The Wit and Wisdom as Brian Doyle, produced by Vashon Repertory Theater, that will show at the Vashon Center for the Arts March 22nd through the 24th.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, well, it's coming right up.
Wow.
What if I don't know Brian Doyle? What is this play about?
Oh, interesting. This play is a...
I do know Brian Doyle,
I
by
know
the way.
You know Brian Doyle well. Brian Doyle, for those who don't know, is a deceased and beloved author from Portland who edited the Portland Monthly magazine, I believe.
Oh, wow. Just called Portland.
It was just called Portland.
And it was it's a production of the University of Portland.
Okay.
Okay. And he did that for years. At the same time, he wrote several novels.
And he was a teacher. A professor.
And he was a teacher and tons of essays as well.
Yeah.
And so Jerry and Mike Feinstein, local people, have created a play that they did. We did it the first time in 2019, and they've changed it a bit and revived it. And it's basically his essays, some excerpts from his novel, Mink River, and the entire cast came back in full force because they loved it so much. So it's outstanding and professional local actors, Jeannie Doherty, David Melke, Paul Shapiro, and Kate O'Kane. And Kat Eggleston provides musical interludes. It's a wonderful...
I think it's not to be missed. I can add a little personal note to it in that Brian Doyle was without a doubt the most heartfelt man I've ever met.
Wow,
in
Linda.
My life.
Oh.
And he was a kind of a mentor to me early on in the back in the day when I was just figuring out if I could be a freelance writer or not. And he was there. And it was through a Oregon Writers Colony, which is a writers organization. And he became friends with us. And it was just, he was a diamond. He really was.
And
I miss him still.
Go to the show because it's good for your heart.
Yeah, and
it's just good
just
for
go
your
to
heart.
The show. And look him up. Read his work. It's wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah.
Brian Doyle. And there's Brian Doyle Murray. So when you guys were talking about Brian Doyle, I immediately thought of Bill Murray's older brother, who's an actor and comedian.
So I'm
glad you broke it out.
And there's a Brian Doyle baseball player.
Is there?
When you're looking, look for Brian Doyle author or Brian Doyle writer.
Portland.
Okay.
Thanks for the context.
And what about you, Miss Heidi? What's been going on with you?
Getting used to life with 4 cats in our house. We also have 4 air purifiers in our house. Controlling my newly diagnosed asthma and then some, and that's going good. That's a good thing. And looking forward to my son coming to visit briefly from China as he sells tea internationally. They have a tea company called One River Tea, and it's time to settle up with the tax man because there's some local taxes that must be reconciled and get that squared away.
Oh, we can't get away from them, can we?
But did you call it One River Tea?
Yeah, that's the company. And they have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page. And it's authentic, fair trade. They work with small family farms. And instead of having those family farms sell into a conglomerate, it's very micro.
That's wonderful.
Cool. Yeah.
Does he distribute here in the West Coast?
Yeah.
How do we find it?
Just go online. Just put in One River Tea and you'll find it. And he says there's a lot of copycats, but if you put in One River Tea, that's the company. No imitations. Yeah. I think it's onerivertea.com. I could find out.
Well, we can look that up.
Okay, do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's Pu'er, and they have their own plantation also in this town called, it's Hefeng. I think he says it like Hefeng. Mm-hmm. It looks like Hefeng. So they actually have like a really cool tea house and acres of this crazy sloping hills. And he goes every time he's on break from university, he's studying, he's getting his PhD, but he's also teaching at university right now at Yangtze University. Let's check it out.
Raised an overachiever.
I know.
He's really doing well, isn't he? When is he coming?
The 24th.
Oh, soon. Good.
And there's a anime convention that he's going to, of course, hit
of course.
Up because that's Alex.
Oh, what timing.
How convenient.
Yeah.
to throw in a Sakura convention.
Well, if I found the right one, they're having a sale.
Oh, good. We better look it up.
Yeah.
So,
how are you?
Oh, is that it? I'm sorry.
No.
You have more?
No, I'm looking at what Susan's looking at.
Oh. I want to know how you're adjusting the last few days to the time change. Does that bother you or is that just me?
I read the article that you linked us to, which was very helpful, and it rang a lot of bells for me because I've noticed, well, of course, this week, I'm just sleeping in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, never mind.
I'm late for everything in the morning, and I honestly don't care anymore.
That's so me.
It feels better.
Yeah.
But the other thing I realized is that I have felt for years that summer here is exhausting.
Yes.
We go.
And keep going.
And we go till late at night.
Yep.
And that article confirmed that it wears us out.
It does.
And by the time fall comes around, I'm ready to make soup and sit home and make fire.
And hole up.
And read.
Totally.
I remember there was something about the Washington legislature last year that maybe this is the last year we have to deal with it. I don't know. It seems like we weren't supposed to have to deal with it this year, but
last year, the Washington legislature passed a bill to... at first, they wanted to stay on daylight savings time.
Okay.
That didn't fly. So they passed a bill to stay on standard time, which is fine.
Yeah.
According to that article, it's more...
It's healthier.
It's healthier. Thank you.
Mm. Circadian rhythms and things.
All that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they passed it, but it requires federal legislation.
So it's
even if you do it by state, because Arizona never changes their time.
I know. And I'm not sure what the hang up is.
Oh, well, but, everything's hung up if you're talking about that kind of thing.
Congress?
That.
Yeah.
I don't even say the word anymore.
Like just 2 days ago, whenever it took effect, Patty Murray was on X and she was lamenting.
Was she?
We've got to get rid of this BS.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so. According to a survey, and I don't know who did it, but was this article I sent to you about it.
Yes.
There's one third of Americans, only one third say they don't look forward to it. But there's two thirds that would like to eliminate it completely, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then 21% who like to move their clocks back and forth.
Insane.
But the thing of it is, you know, it was designed for farmers and gardeners and that sort of thing so that there was another hour of daylight at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. However, another article I read talked about how this affects our children. Mm-hmm. And the children getting up early in the morning and going to school when it's dark and coming home, it's just not good for them because of our natural life, according to light. We live in the light. And we sleep in the dark.
That's the other thing that resonated with me, and that is I am very sensitive to light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wake up when the sun comes up, and I have to have a dark, dark room to sleep
Do
in.
Do you?
Any light wakes me up.
Mm. We can be bedfellows.
Let's get married. Do you like anchovies?
I do, actually.
Hey, it's a deal.
I'm gonna stink up a room, put our eye masks on.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I like it.
I like it, too. Can I watch?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Keep on going. What else you got, okay. Susan?
You know, so anyway, I just wanted to gripe about that a little bit because it really bothers me.
I don't like it.
It makes me so crabby. And then, you know, couple it with the fact that we don't have any sunshine when it's supposed to be sunny. Today we do.
Yes.
Yes, surprise, surprise.
But I thought yesterday I was going to have to slap somebody. I just felt I was angry. It was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know what we could do about that in terms of the time.
Well,
I mean,
you can't
winter
do anything
in the Northwest. Period.
Right. You can't do anything, but I would like a little bit of light in the morning.
Word.
It would help, you know. Anyway, that's that for that. It's Women's Month.
It is Women's
Did
Month.
Did you note that?
Yes.
I get confused sometimes because they call it International Women's Day, and then they think Women's History Month, and it's just so. Let's just talk about women.
Yeah.
In general.
Sisters.
One thing I wanted to say about what I've been doing in the last couple of weeks is, I went to, do you guys know about Women Who Hold the Key and Synergy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Tina Shattuck has done a wonderful job of gathering women from all walks of life, old ones and young ones and all different colors and different languages. And they're so wonderful. And she held an open house at I guess we'd call it a retreat center, a class. I don't know.
It's called Synergy.
Where the women
hold
is
the
that
key.
What the space is called? Is Synergy?
Synergy. Okay. The Synergy Center.
And the group is Women Hold the Key. And Tina has had a dream for a long time to gather women in arts and languages and babies and grandmas and all women. So she had an open house Friday, I think it was, and I went in the morning for coffee, and oh my goodness, there was a woman there who was serving bread and Turkish coffee, and her name is Celine Demir.
Okay.
And her husband, Ulik. I hope I'm saying that right, but they're Turkish, and she made Turkish coffee for all of us, which was an unbelievable treat in those little tiny Turkish cups.
We had those bouncing off the walls because that stuff is
really strong.
Yeah,
yeah, it was good though. I loved it. And then her husband made bread, and this bread is Ramadan is the only time this bread is made, and it's Ramadan bread. I've never tasted bread as good as that. I think really it was so beautiful. And then I did a little bit of research on, you know, the history of it and that kind of thing. And it's bread, it's basic bread, but this particular bread is sprinkled with nigella seeds.
What's nigella?
Seeds, little seeds.
Yeah.
And sesame seeds.
Ah,
and
there you go.
That, which, you know, it looks like a regular loaf of bread, except that it's round and it's just beautiful. And we ate that. So that was lovely. I met lots of people. I met, young women and old women and funny women and sad women.
How many women?
Oh, when I was there, it was people in and out all day long.
Wow. It was. I was there. They had a presentation at 12:30 about the condition of women's health internationally. Yeah. Kirsten Garnier, who does work in Africa with women, mm-hmm. made a very interesting presentation, particularly about maternal health and mm-hmm. Also about young women. And there was another woman there who has a program, which is really cool, where they create packages that are cloth and reusable that mm-hmm. include all kinds of menstrual products that can be reused for young girls, in particularly in Africa, but in other third world countries who don't have access or money.
Did she have a good turnout for that?
Well, it was the same people who were there for the 12:30 presentation Kirsten Garnier made.
Yeah.
So it was like back to back. But they also, the lady with Turkish coffee and bread was there too. And I had Turkish coffee at 12:30.
And dear.
I was awake for days.
I bet you were.
Days.
Boing.
It was good.
Susan, I want to answer your question about Nigella seeds.
Oh, thank you.
It's a little tiny itty bitty black seed. And I know you've probably seen it on everything bagel and that kind of stuff. But it is a flowering plant that comes from Eastern Europe and Western Asia.
It's not a poppy seed?
It's not a poppy seed.
You know, the bees really like Nigella. I just couldn't tell you what it looks like, just thinking of
it. It's just a
Nigella flower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either. So anyway, I did that. And what I'm looking forward to is my granddaughter's coming to visit. And we haven't had any grandma-granddaughter time in a long time. She's coming on the 17th for a few days, and we'll have lots and lots and lots of time for conversation and a couple of hikes on the beach. And I'm just really looking forward to that. I'm taking a few days off.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
It'll be really nice. Yeah. So in the spirit of Women's Month, Women's Day, I'd like to talk about maybe women that we admire. Do you have any, superhero
many.
Women? Yeah, there are a lot, for sure. I can start if you want to.
Please, because
I don't know if she's my personal hero, but I really admire Hedy Lamarr. And do you know why?
Because she has hot legs.
She does have hot legs. She did have hot legs. That's right. But do you know that she was a self-trained inventor and that she developed a technology to sink German boats? The Nazi U-2 boats. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And, you know, she was working at the studio the whole time. And then she'd go home after, 15-hour day at the studio, go home and invent something and work for the government doing... inventing things and hurting the German boat.
I know she contributed to Wi-Fi technology.
She did.
In part, yes.
She did.
Which is amazing.
And she really never had any formal training. So
she's one of those big concept thinkers,
She
that is.
That
is so impressive.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be who I today admire most.
A good one.
My heroes... are people that I know, and I wish they were listening, but my daughter-in-law would be the first one that comes to my mind, my longest-term daughter-in-law, who is a Pilates teacher, an actor, a director, a businesswoman, a lover of animals of every stripe, who brings them in. She even feeds the raccoons in her backyard
while
her cats are out there with her.
Oh,
okay.
And it works. Wow. She makes it work.
It works.
Apparently she does.
So she and my son have one of the best relationships I've ever seen. It's lasted over 20 years. And they are my heroes in that regard. So that'd be my first.
That's a good
the
one.
First hero in my life that I would that comes to mind
immediately.
Well,
that's pretty wonderful. She's
a
wonderful
woman.
What's her
first name again?
Her name is Juliana.
Juliana, okay.
That's such a pretty name.
Or Jules.
Hi, Jules.
Cheers to you. That's so great.
I almost forgot her name.
And her name is?
It's all right. We forget everything.
What about you, Heidi? I think about big, big strides. And Katherine Johnson, who was in Hidden Figures, she's a mathematician. How's that? She's amazing to me. And if you don't know who she is, I took a few notes. Her real name is Crayola.
Oh, like crayon?
No, like Creole with an A on the end.
Oh, like Creole.
Creola. Catherine Johnson. And she did look kind of Creole. She had that really light complexion.
Yeah.
So she was a mathematician who could calculate orbital trajectories and things that were critical to space flight. And she knew she was good at math at a really early age, ended up working in that profession. And in the 1950s, when it was before NASA, it was another National Aeronautical Division. She heard that they were hiring mathematicians and she went for it.
Oh, wow.
Imagine that things are really segregated in the South all the way through her career, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of many women they called human calculators in skirts. But she was the person that would check the computer's work.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at doing that.
And
so she contributed to many, many space flights. And she started in 1953, which is about the time she got her first job. Her first husband died of a brain tumor, an operable brain tumor. And there she was with three daughters and this new career.
Oh, my goodness.
She did it. And then she remarried a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. But yeah, she got the 2015 Presidential Medal of Freedom. She was in Hidden Figures and got some street cred recognition that way. And then in 2019, she got the Congressional Gold Medal. And then she died the next year in 2020.
Oh.
But just a whiz at analytical geometry, a woman of color, a woman who had to assert for her name to show up in work, published work. Because, you know, it was always about...
Well, men.
Yes.
White men.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And there were times when she would ask to be included in meetings. You know, she'd do all this work, hand it off to a dude, the boardroom meeting start, and then they shut the door in her face. So she stuck her foot in the door, apparently, at some point and said, my name is on this work. I did most of the work in this report. I should be included in this meeting. And she got included over time.
Wow.
But you had to just, and bathrooms were segregated at work.
Yes. That's one of the things I remember about the movie of that we were talking about is that they had to go outside and walk to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So she's kind of my hero.
Oh, good.
And
interesting.
I just love it. I just, I mean, we didn't hear these stories in school, right? It's just now coming out.
I know.
All these wonderful people that deserve a lot of recognition. Catherine Johnson, I dig you.
Thank you, Catherine, wherever you are. I was talking the other day with somebody. We were talking about greeting friends and women greeting women. And we were talking. She asked me, do you kiss your friends?
Oh.
Oh. And I said, Yeah, I kiss my friends. Of course I kiss my friends. Well, that led me into a rabbit hole. So I started doing a little research about kissing. And, you know, there are a lot of different types of kisses.
Yes.
And the Mesopotamians have these tablets that they carved in. And there are many, many legends about kissing.
On these tablets?
On these tablets. And there are a lot of... a lot of erotic kinds of kissing, you know, but there's a young couple in England, I think, who are professors of Assyriology, which is Syria.
Sure.
Yeah. And so they have done some of their own research and they just were curious about kissing.
I love it.
And what they found out is that a lip kissing precursor involved rubbing and pressing noses together. And this is like in 300 BC. They find evidence of this and stories about this.
Sounds like an Eskimo kiss.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
Yes,
and
it
then
does.
It came, but that came out about the same time as the Kama Sutra came out. When it's teaching people how to kiss and how to have sex. And then that's not really the next step. The next step was kissing your friends, which is also detailed in these cuneiform tablets. And kissing your friends is on the lips, closed mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know when that came in to be, but then the whole full works, you know, which we call French kissing is kissing your lover.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully it doesn't happen to you without a lover.
It happens with my dog sometimes.
Well, it's okay with the dog too. Yeah, we get that too. We do. But there's just older and older accounts that they're finding. And they're also doing research on chimpanzees and bonobos. And bonobos...
And do they kiss?
They kiss, but bonobos only kiss if they want sex.
Oh.
chimpanzees kiss all the time. And they also found in these cuneiform tablets that the first kisses were after intercourse.
Not before.
Mm-hmm. It was like a wrap-up. It was like a thank you day. I guess. I don't know. But I thought, I mean, don't we kiss our friends always?
I kiss my friends, but generally not on the lips.
No, usually not on the lips. Just cheek. Yeah, I do too.
And then there's the faux kiss, you know, that you see.
Oh, the air kiss.
The air kiss.
Yeah.
Right. On, you know,
Bella la bise.
Yes,
right. Bella la bise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is almost offensive in my view, but.
Because it's fake.
What?
Oh, I mean, it's the European thing.
Whatever. It is
well,
European.
When it's
thing.
European, I think it's less fake than when it's done here in Hollywood or
there
in,
you go.
In, so in upper crust society, I guess.
Couldn't
or
do
in,
it. Yeah. No. It's been done to me, though, and
the
I feel
fake
really awkward. I'm like, oh, am I supposed to...
Yeah, right. And yeah, and if you turn your head the wrong way, you clash noses or something.
I was going to say, then you rip
then
your nose
hurts.
Off.
Yeah, right.
Or then you smack on their face.
I want to talk awkward. About another hero.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Ijoma Oahu... I'm not going to say this right.
Oh, try.
Oluo, who is an outstanding Black woman author who has written some fabulous books. So you want to talk about Race, Be a Revolution, that's the latest one. Mm. Mediocre, which is very interesting. And it is about, I think it's the dangerous legacy of white men. And she's also done some... The dangers of white male mediocrity.
And have you read these books?
I've read Be a Revolution and So You Want to Talk About Race. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a super famous
and,
book.
And
yeah.
I've seen her on a couple of talk shows. She is just outstanding. She's only 43 years old.
Oh, good.
And
she'll be around a while.
Right. And just a dynamo.
Oh.
Please say your name
say
one more
her name
time.
Again, yeah.
Ijoma Oluo.
Spell it, please.
Ijeoma.
Okay.
Last name is Oluo.
Thank you.
Oluo. Okay, thank you. I don't know her. I'll have to look her
she's
up.
She's actually a Seattle resident, but she's all over the country and just outstanding.
We should probably do a thank you to our sponsors. Huh?
Real quick.
Okay.
Hang in there.
Voice of Vashon programming support is brought to you by Cafe Vino Olio, featuring house-made bagels and Fioretta coffee expertly roasted and prepared. Or enjoy wine by the glass and a baked treat in their Vashon Town Cafe. Don't forget grab-and-go specialty wines and pantry items on your way out. For hours of operation and to find out more, call 206-999-4742.
And another.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
Thank you, supporters.
Yes, we couldn't do it without you, that's for sure.
That's right.
I want to go back to this kissing thing and go and sort of segue into something else that I kind of have a rant about.
Ooh.
Talking about some.
I love rants.
Which lips are we talking about, Linda?
Yeah.
Heidi.
You know.
So there's there's this new deodorant called Lume, L-U-M-E.
Yes.
And I see advertisements all over the net, all over the internet, and it's so disgusting. It's all about, you know, it's not underarm deodorant. Let's put it that way.
Funk in the trunk,
or. I'm not going to say that, but these women are deodorizing their bits.
And you mean our girl parts?
The girly bits.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, I saw an advertisement of a woman in her underwear with a plastic bottle that was like, you know, round and long. And she's pointing it at her hoo-hoo. At her twat, at her what do you call it? And it's so disgusting. And so my question is, when did people stop taking a shower?
Right.
I mean, if you stink,
yep.
And you know you stink, don't you go have a shower?
Wash that mess,
or at least.
And
least...
I think that differs from woman to woman. Some women have hormonal eruptions that
Well, sure, I get that.
And they really do just need to. In India,
It's, yeah, tell me what happened in India when you
India,
were there.
Well, in India, years ago, I learned that they are very fastidious about keeping their nether regions, men and women, clean. And they wash. They just use water after they use the toilet. And it's very simple.
So you it's just similar to a bidet, really, except it there it's not on the toilet.
Right, they don't necessarily.
They go to the sink.
They in of course other countries, Japan and Italy, many countries in Europe, they have bidets as a matter of course.
That's a bidet kind of feeling.
Yeah, and that's just cleaning yourself with water.
Right,
it's refreshing and it's not chemical and it's not scented and it's not encased in plastic.
Right, for more landfill. Do you have any opinions on this, or am I the only one who's outraged at this stupid idea?
I don't mind the product concept that much, except that it's almost a bullying degree of ads that I get on my social streams. It's ridiculous. Like, what are you trying to tell me? Do you use Duasmail? It's because I'm a woman of a certain age, and I just hit the demographic, and I'm getting bombed with her ad.
Too.
So what I don't like are the actual content of the ads and just sort of like, ew, smelly butt, you know, and how she does her commercials. The one I most recently saw, the doctor, Shannon Klingman, who's the founder of the company, emerges from the toilet and they start this video with the sound of a toilet flushing. And then the bathroom door swings wide open and she steps out and like, you know that smell? And she's pointing back to the toilet. Also, you didn't wash your frickin' hands, disgusting lady.
Ooh, nasty.
You know, you just flushed the toilet and then opened the bathroom door. I caught you.
You know.
Yeah. It's just another way of making women inferior.
That's how I feel. How I feel about it. You know, it's, I also think, do I say this?
What?
I also think that women who buy the product are idiots. Because I do.
It's also men, though, that buy it, just so you know.
Well, fine.
But
same with them, then. I mean, really. Because it's such a cleanliness thing.
Right,
that's
right.
All it is cleanliness. And if you happen to have, you know, a certain scent that your lover probably enjoys. I mean, we have that. It's physical.
We have a brand.
Everybody has a different scent.
Oh, back to kissing. That's another thing the Sumerians believed, is that you're kissing someone to find out who they are by how they smell.
This is kind of silly, but I remember as a little kid, a very little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, recognizing that everyone in my family had a smell. And I could
really,
I could put my face on the couch and tell who was there last.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh. See?
I remember being fascinated by that. Of course, you're not encouraged to think that way.
Yeah.
But the truth is we all do have an individual
scent.
Our dogs know this very well.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And if we would allow ourselves to be more the animals that we are, we'd probably be comfortable with that.
You're totally
but of
right.
course, you know, advertising wants us to be something other than human, and you know, the whole idea, you know this very well, Heidi, create a need.
A need, so, and then market to it.
Exactly. So make women feel inferior because they smell natural.
She'll argue, the doctor, that, you know, she's empowering people to feel better about themselves, but at the same time she's saying you do stink, and
right,
and she'll say the vagina is self-cleaning, but it's everything around the vagina.
Yeah, but and what about the rear end?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, come on.
Does she have something for that too?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
It's
you
the
can
same
use
product,
it everywhere.
Yeah.
You can use it in your pits, and you can use it anywhere you want to, anywhere you
and
stink.
And what is it made of?
I don't know. I haven't looked up.
We need you to do that, Susan.
You have to research.
I'll order something, and you can.
No, I don't want the plastic container.
Okay.
No,
never mind.
I know. Don't give Susan any plastic, or you'll get in trouble.
What's it called? Lumi.
Lume.
Oh, sorry if we're giving them too much power with this.
Too much
discussion.
Information. Yeah.
But yeah, it's
So anyway, that's just kind of my rant for the day.
That's a good rant.
Yeah,
it's a good rant.
And I feel bad. You know, that's one of the things. I feel bad that there's that kind of thing out there. The attitude, I guess.
I wish that she would take a different approach on her advertising. But
And I think, according to what I've seen on the internet, it's mostly young women.
Because they're the most hormonally active,
and they're still learning. They're still learning.
Yeah.
You know,
And
I don't
banging.
Know.
Gosh, you can get it in so many different scents. Lavender
flavors,
sage,
toasted
peony
coconut.
Rose, toasted coconut.
Toasted coconut. Vajayjay.
Fresh alpine.
Fresh alpine.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Climb this. What else you got? Throw me one. Lob me one. Let me see if I can hit it.
All right. Here it has ingredients.
Okay.
Water, mandelic acid, whatever that is, okay. Maranta arundinacea root mm-hmm. powder, okay. tapioca starch, okay. isoamylorate, hydroxypropyl starch phosphate, cetearyl alcohol, caffeine.
Okay, that's enough. That's
enough?
Yeah. God, it's awful.
More alcohol, hydrogenated castor oil, fragrance.
But get this. It's mostly water.
Right.
That's the first ingredient.
Yeah, yeah.
Try ding, 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 ding. Try some water, girls. It'll work.
What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
It's free from aluminum, baking soda, phthalates, sulfates, parabens, and talc.
Mm. Oh, I guess that's good.
It's vegan and cruelty-free.
Oh,
okay,
so
then.
You can eat it.
You can eat it if you want to. That'll be next. Your throat stinks. Eat this.
Oh my
yeah, there's always.
All right,
yeah, let's go to mouthwash.
Subject.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, it's a full moon this month. Do you know the name of the full moon?
There's a bunch of names.
Yeah.
The worm moon. You sent us a link.
The worm moon.
The worm moon. And do you know why it's called the worm moon?
No.
It's an Ojibwe thing, and it is about the beetles coming out, B-E-A-T.
Yes.
Coming out of the trees in the springtime, and the larva comes out, and there's little worms there.
That
so
is true.
It's called the worm moon, and it's 24th of March, I think. 24th
yeah.
and 25th of March.
3 a.m. Monday, March 25th. Right?
Yeah, and I mean 3 a.m. We'll still be able to see it at 10 o'clock.
That,
I won't
yeah.
be up at 3, but
right.
I just thought it was interesting, and I thought some of the names mm-hmm. were interesting. Heidi, did you read that?
I did. There's a Pascal full moon. There's the eagle moon, the sugar moon, also an Ojibwe term.
And there's one called the wind strong moon.
Wind strong.
That's Pueblo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a lot of wind in the spring.
This is not a Lumi butt fart joke.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking
that
about
was a strong wind. I guess.
No, now you've got mooning on the mind.
And then there's another one. Something eyes. I can't read my own writing. It's a Dakota term. Something eyes.
Eyes. I don't
snake
know.
Eyes or eagle eyes. Anyway. Oh, snow eyes. It's a reflection of the snow. It's super bright. I guess the moon shines bright because it's lower in the sky and it's big and then it's still hitting the melting snow. So something about the eyes, strong eyes. Snow
what
eye.
I loved was reading about the activities based on the moon sign and the phases and for planting, for gardening. I know you're both gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
Above ground crops should be planted on the 13th and 14th.
Of March.
Below ground crops on the 1st. Or the 27th through the 29th.
Of March?
Mm-hmm. And for setting eggs, full moon, 24th and 25th.
It's on.
Setting eggs?
When the hens get broody, they're going to set on eggs and try to hatch them out.
Oh.
Spring chickens.
Mm-hmm. Spring chickens, yeah.
Cool.
And so I guess that's when they get broody. That means... For me, don't let them range because that's when they start to go rogue.
Do they?
They'll drop their eggs like under a wheelbarrow off in the yard.
and Heidi has to go hunting.
I come up short and I'm like, my profit margin, man. Where are my eggs?
Do you know how expensive that egg is?
That's right.
That's right. It is. Yeah. So,
but it's my egg, she says.
It is because they are.
It's my egg.
Yeah.
So do you guys plant gardens by the moon?
No, it never occurred to me to do that. I kind of just go by when it feels like the weather is. To me, it took me years to figure this out. I'm a city kid, you know, and it's all been an experiment.
You're not a city kid anymore.
Well, kind of, right. But I'm slow. And I finally realized spring is not about the temperature. It's about the light.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I try to go by the light. And so when the light starts, when I see things... Just starting to pop up, the croak.
The croak guy.
I think, okay, it's time to plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I just
so it must be getting time.
Instinct. Yeah. They're blooming. I think it is. Yeah.
It's I look at other gardeners in the Northwest because Northwest is kind of different.
It's different. Yeah.
And I look at what they're doing and it's very much in line. They're probably reading the Farmer's Almanac because that's I'm going with what they said. And
do you get the Farmer's Almanac?
No, it's online.
I know it's online, but it's such a fun thing to read.
Yes.
It's such a fun thing to read.
Right. I should read it. But yeah.
I have to. This harkens to me. Years ago, I was involved with folks pretending to be Native Americans, and we did vision quests,
oh, yeah.
and we looked for our sign, our animal, our totem animal.
Totem animal.
Oh, right, right.
And we meditated.
Yes.
And for a while there, I was afraid that my totem animal was the earthworm.
I thought you were going to say worm. I was waiting for that.
I was meditating and going through the dirt and feeling the cool of the dirt. And I thought, okay, so what's that about? But then it turned out to be a different totem animal. So,
do you remember what it was?
The hawk.
Ah.
Well, that's a good one.
I am a hawk. It.
That's a good one, I think. Yeah. Well, let's talk can we talk about gardening? You know I'm not a gardener.
Totally.
And you know that I love the things that come out of the garden. The thing about gardening for me is I love the planting. I love to put things in the ground. And I love to pick things. But all that in-between work, watering, I could do.
Watering, weed
pulling.
Hand
watering. I love watering. But I pulled too many weeds when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I just did. My mom was an incredible gardener. And she had beautiful, I want to say an acre. I mean, it was huge.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of garden.
Well, I don't
to
think it was.
But it
was,
felt like it.
But it was big. And, you know, she fed 8 people 3 times a day.
Man. From her garden?
From her garden, always vegetables in the summer, always. And she canned and froze things.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, and we...
That's an occupation.
Well, yeah, among many others that she had. I don't know how those women did it all in the 50s and 60s. I really don't. I mean, they raised kids and cleaned houses and went to church and had committee meetings and gardens and beautiful yards and their dresses were always pressed. I don't know how they did it. I don't
Amazing.
Know how they
did it. Did they die young?
No.
Huh?
No. And my whole family is gardeners. You know, my grandmas were really wonderful gardeners and raspberry patches and all that stuff. So... there's a piece of me that misses the digging in the dirt, but the other piece of me remembers backaches and broken toes and all kinds of things that happen in the garden. And broken toe, yes, I whacked my toe with a fork and broke it.
When I think seriously about this and about how women used to live, whether it was in the 50s and the 60s or the 40s and the 30s, when, yes, everything was done at home on the farm, but they were also in community of women, and they helped each other. And
they did. That's right.
There was respect for that work, and there was a great deal of satisfaction to be had.
Yes, there was.
And I think they're, because they supported each other, and I had a glimpse of that kind of life when I was a single-parent student, and all the women who had our kids in the daycare center worked together to take care of our kids, to raise our kids, and to run our lives. It really works, the whole village thing, and women do it really well. Thank you, Women's Month.
Yes. Yeah, they do. I have several women in my life who were really instrumental in moving me forward through awkward teenage years, and they were a troop of women. Mm. They Is that the right word? Troop is one person. Isn't
Sounds
it?
Good.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
They were a gaggle of women.
That's so cool.
I always knew I could go somewhere if I needed help. I always knew that what I couldn't tell my mother, I could tell Joanne.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think we're losing some of that in our busy, busy society today, which is one of the reasons, hearkening back to Tina Shattuck and Synergy, Women Hold the Key, she's doing a marvelous thing for women here who can find home in a group of other women who either have something to offer or need something or maybe don't need something, but you gather and you visit. And we hearken back to the quote-unquote coffee clutches that the women used to have. You know, they'd sit around. And I remember my mom had bridge, you know, card tables set up in the living room. And these women played cards and smoked cigarettes. And, you know, they were a group, very intertwined. Let's put it that way.
Cool.
They all knew each other's kids. And that's small village stuff. You know, I was raised in a small town.
You were.
But the small town stuff translates to community today.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a small village,
mm-hmm.
and we all have our little community of other women. And I think when they talk about the word housewife, they say it as sort of an insult.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe that term is derogatory. I don't know.
It's a pejorative at this point.
It's pejorative, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. But look at the work. There was, mm-hmm. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just like, so hashtag tradwife,
mm-hmm.
T-R-A-D-W-I-F-E. Yeah. Like that's a whole thing right now. It's drawing some resentment because mm-hmm. it's almost like there's some women who are completely glammed up and they have this beautiful, sterile kitchen, sort of like the Katie Britt. Talk.
Like the Katie Britt.
But that tradwife movement it's a movement right now and it's really interesting. And I don't know that I would equate it with the 1950s housewife at all.
Is it more Stepford wife?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Do these women do their own cleaning or?
They say they do.
I see.
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
They don't clean like my mother did.
Yeah.
They might dust.
I don't know anything about Tradwife. That's the first I've heard of it.
You better check it out.
You better look it up,
sounds,
Susan.
Is it on Facebook?
Oh, it's on Instagram.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Instagram, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's everywhere.
It well, really? It sounds competitive rather than cooperative.
Exactly.
It is.
You just nailed
it. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing.
We're going to take
I'm better than you.
Yes, look at me. It's totally like that. So hashtag Tradwife. We're going to take a quick breaky-poo, and we'll be right back.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5, Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island, on the web at thsrestaurant.com.
Linda's razzing me because that's me sick recording with Jeff.
Whose voice is that?
She made this look like disgusted face and I shrink in my chair. Hello. Right here.
Tis I.
No, it totally, it sounds like it's sped up and I'm really nasal. And
it's a big nasal.
I was not feeling good that day.
Oh, bless your heart for doing the work.
Meh.
And busted. Yeah, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
And I can tell you that my husband is listening.
Oh, good.
And when we were talking about the moon and light,
he
said it takes 4 weeks to regain the light in this part of the country, the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Okay.
However, on the southern states, it takes up to 8 weeks to regain that sunlight.
What?
In the southern states?
Yeah.
That's closer to the equator.
Well,
How's that?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of baffling, but I think the idea is, you know, we have the long, long, long days up here.
Yes, we do.
Coming upon
us
as well, which has something to do with the angle of the dangle of the sun.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
It's in the azimuth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
Hi, Luke. A little segue, just briefly.
Yes.
Next winter, I'll be able to tell you how it is to live in dark 24/7 because I'm going to go visit my aunt in the Yukon next winter.
Ooh, that's so
for
cool.
For how long?
Probably a week.
Wow.
And it'll be
maybe you'll see the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, I will. That's why I'm going and to see my aunt. And I she's my dearest aunt and she's in the Yukon and I can go see the Aurora Borealis and experience again 30 degrees below zero. I'm really excited.
Whoopee.
I
really
can't wait. I think it's going to be really
cool.
Fun. So, I'll tell you about the light thing next year when we talk. Can we go back to gardening?
Yeah,
sure.
That's where we kind of left off.
Yeah, we kind of left off and went somewhere else before. Yeah, that's okay. That's what we like to do.
Yeah.
So what are you planting? When are you planting? Do you have giant gardens?
Gonna happen soon.
Heidi, I've seen both of your gardens, and your gardens are similar in content, in cleanliness, and pretty. They're pretty. And
I told you, I'm moving in with you, Susan.
Oh, just call me the matchmaker.
Uh-huh. Rent-a-yenta.
Rent-a-yenta.
I don't know. Her garden looks a lot better to me than mine.
Well, we think everybody's looks better than ours.
I suppose that's true.
You know.
Yes. But
from an outsider's standpoint, you both have beautiful gardens.
Thank you.
And I have enjoyed produce from both of them, so thank you for that.
Linda was house-sitting in October, and I remember saying, take spaghetti squash.
Take more spaghetti squash. Oh, my God. Well, I
didn't hear about that. I would have liked the spaghetti squash.
Oh, I got you. I still have some.
Oh, all right.
It's good. Keeping. I love it. Just roasted with olive oil and salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Wow. Hey, I want to know what to do with the world's largest cabbage.
Oh, ferment it.
Make kimchi?
Make sauerkraut. Or that.
Sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll stink your house up for days. You better get some Lumi.
House Lumi?
On your door jams.
Yeah. I have asthma, and I'm dealing with laughing and not having an asthma attack at the same time.
Whoops.
But South Park has an episode where there's a muff cabbage. And it's a reference that this Jersey wife makes to her vagina. So cabbage and that together. Sorry.
Oh, God. Anyway,
you have to just...
So maybe there is Lumi for
South
cabbage.
Park muff cabbage. Yeah.
All right, anyone out there who made that connection, you get a cookie.
I'm 12. I'm sorry.
I know. We all are.
Yeah. Microgreens have started in my greenhouse. Radish, basil, spinach, three types of lettuce, kale, broccoli, broccolini, winter squashes, cabbage, cauliflower, bok choy, Napa cabbage, onions, shallots, scallions, two types of zucchini, and there's more, but I can't list it all. There's a whole lot started in my greenhouse.
Already starting in your
greenhouse.
They're
doing great. Yeah.
So do you all do tomatoes?
I will.
Try.
Yeah. It's so hard. North
Sometimes
End.
Really hard. Yeah. I know.
The person I know who does it best is Karen Biondo, but she's got the greenhouses and the temperature.
Her
it's all perfect.
To die for.
Why compete?
Exactly.
We just go to Karen.
Yeah. Get them from the farmers. Yeah. I really thought that last summer the tomatoes were memorable because we didn't have so much rain. We had a lot of heat and a lot of sun. I know.
Yeah.
But we did get good tomatoes. Do y'all ever grow corn?
No.
No. Does that grow here?
Yes. Rebecca Lanfear, who owns Allie Lanfear Vineyards, she grows open pollinated type corn and has had luck with that in the past.
See.
I can't do it. No. There's some things
I
won't
try.
Takes
up too much space. Too.
Exactly. Yeah. We can't be bothered, Linda.
Really? Here's a story. My first job was selling corn on the cob. My mom had a huge, huge corn field, and it was sweet corn so that we could eat it and she could freeze it and can it and do all that. And my brother and I, we were probably 7 and 5, maybe 8, and somewhere in that range. And my mom came home one day and she said, "Well, I've got a job for you." And we said, "What is it? What is it?" And she said, "Well, Mr. Alt at the grocery store said he'd buy your corn if you'd pick it and bring it in to him."
Awesome.
And so, my brother and I got busy and we filled our little red wagon with corn and we put it in the back of the car and mom drove us into the grocery store. So here's Mr. Alt standing behind the counter and he was such a nice man. Our local grocer was owned by two brothers and they were both fabulous. Anyway,
neat.
He's standing there in his white apron and he said, "Uh-huh. And how much do you want for that corn?" And we looked at each other and we didn't know. And then he said, "Well, is it any good? Is it full of worms?" You know, and he's making us talk and making us think about this.
This is so cool.
And so we said, "Well, we didn't have any worms in ours and we didn't know what to charge. But we thought maybe if you wanted to pay us a nickel an ear, that would be pretty good."
Yikes, you needed an agent.
And he paid us a nickel an ear.
Ah!
Well, yeah, but we're 5 or 8, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we got all these nickels. It was really fun.
You would think you're rich, huh?
We were rich.
We were rich.
And so that summer, I don't remember how many times we did it, but I know that it was really fun. And it was about the bounty.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, it was. And we had... I thought it was kind of clever of my mom, really, you know.
Yeah. Some responsibility, some money management. Some, you put those nickels in your pocket and your pants fall off.
Well, it taught me a little bit about negotiating.
Sure.
Because I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know you. I just thought he would say, "Here's some money."
Did you raise the price over the summer?
I don't think so. We were just kids, you know. I don't think so.
That's so cool.
But it was fun. And that's, again, related to gardening. But
of
not
course.
My garden.
Yeah,
you know? Not my garden. How experienced in herbs are you?
I'm going to guess that Heidi's a lot more experienced than I am.
I have a lot.
Do you?
Yeah. I save and harvest all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the rosemary. I've gotten into dehydrating, pulverizing. And
I know you have thyme.
I make inbred. Yeah, I love thyme. Mm-hmm. That's starting to peter out. I need to grow new
thyme. I had trouble keeping the thyme going. Of course, I had thyme and oregano in the same pot, and the oregano took over.
Oh, it's just like that. It'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I'm doing. Thyme's kind of fussy sometimes.
Apparently.
I've grown some herbs in my life, but, you know, not much gardening.
I kind of think herbs need to be grown in their own place.
Kind of their own.
Like a little herb garden.
Yeah.
I keep it up, most of it up front in a berm out of everything else, and I kind of just let it go. Mm-hmm. Go harvest it. Mm-hmm. Just don't forget to harvest it. After all that season.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right.
Okay, so here I'm going to put you on the spot. If we have listeners out there who are new to Vashon and they want to make a garden, do you have any advice for them? Is there anything that newcomers need to know about gardening on Vashon?
Well, you have to amend the soil.
For sure. Yeah. That's a great tip.
You have to start.
So does that mean I have to haul in a truckload of
compost or something?
Compost or something?
Yeah. Okay. I think you really have to start with good soil because the soil on the island isn't that great. It's a lot of clay and sand in some places, but sand isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I think you need to start with good soil.
Raised beds are successful for sure.
Have you always had raised beds?
Yeah, most of it.
Have you?
Yeah.
So and see, my mom never had raised beds. She was on her hands and knees picking weeds.
And you had the good dirt.
Well, the dirt was good.
She had good dirt and maybe didn't have a whole lot of slugs.
None. I never saw a slug till I came here. Well, Portland. Oof. Yeah, banana slugs.
Anything you want to say about onions?
Well, yes, but I just want you both to grow me some onions.
I've started.
Have you? And you're thinking of me when you plant them?
We've had them going all year. Yeah.
I love onions in anything. In fact, tonight for dinner, I'm going to have, it's food again.
Yeah.
I'm going to have French onion pasta.
Ooh.
Which is
that sounds wonderful.
I know. It's a new recipe. I've never tried it, but you caramelize onions, red onions.
Uh-huh.
Caramelize for an hour and a half or whatever it takes. And then you just have some pasta and you put some garlic in it, maybe a little red wine or something, and a lot of Parmesan.
Yeah.
And olive oil.
Yeah.
And just, that's it.
I love onions so much.
I do, too.
I will saute a bunch of onions and just have that straight
up. Oh, I can do that.
Onion pasta sounds fabulous.
And how about onion pie?
Oh,
why not?
Yeah.
Like a savory.
I have a friend who used to make great onion pie.
Yeah, I love onion pie.
I made a quiche with leeks. Does that count?
Oh, that counts. Of
quiche
course
with
that
leeks,
counts.
Yes.
Quiche
with
leeks. A leek quiche.
That was lunch. Awesome.
So I just wanted to, put my request in for onions. And
it shall be done.
Heidi,
yo,
will you tell us what Julia Child said about onions?
She said, "It is hard to imagine a civilization without onions." In one form or another, the flavor blends into almost everything in a meal except dessert.
Dessert, yeah.
And even then, I bet someone could come
up
with something.
I bet somebody's tried it.
A sweet onion, caramelized.
Yeah,
I bet
right.
You can make it work.
I have a brother who doesn't eat onions.
What's wrong with
him? I don't know how. And I have a friend who doesn't eat onions.
I have friends who don't eat onions or garlic because they think they're going to have bad breath. They're, women once again being told that they're
tell them to get some loomy.
Less than.
lick a loomy. Put it on their teeth.
Lick a loomy. Lick a loomy pop. Get over it. It's true.
Yeah. Onions and garlic are natural antibiotics. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah. And anti-inflammatory.
And anti-inflammatory, right.
So I had lung infections so bad last year, so many, and my old naturopath, who's now not among the living, Stas Kudla from the island here, advised me, crush garlic, do 50-50, like a tablespoon of coconut oil and a tablespoon of crushed garlic, mix that together, slather it on the soles of your feet, wrap your feet in saran wrap, put some socks on and go to bed very carefully. And then in the next morning, wash off and lo and behold, so much less inflammation.
That's incredible.
It's for the price of a dollar of
onions,
right?
A garlic. Yeah.
That work for inflammation of any kind?
You know,
it's pulmonary.
I know people who do that for a cold.
It works
for the flu.
Yes.
For I have
it's
a headache.
It,
because
well, yeah.
it's drawing everything
yes.
out.
Yes.
Through the bottoms of your feet.
It's allicin is the compound in the onion that does it. But yeah, it draws it out. We're running out of time, folks.
Oh my gosh, we are.
We have a few seconds left.
Thank you for listening. And well, we have some more stories, so I guess we'll save those till next month. And thank you so much for listening. It's been a fun hour.
Thank you, ladies. It's been a great time being with you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to KVSH LP Vashon. We'll see you again in about a month, and we're going to miss you, but we'll have so much to talk about.
We sure will. Bye-bye.
Bye.